Welcome to Super Podcast, featuring your hosts.
This morning before I woke up, I was having a dream about Vanilla Ice.
Super Marcy and...
I'm a terrible Australian, because the other day I watched The Last Song starring Miley Cyrus.
Be Germain.
You're big breaking TV. I'm from the front time, bitch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Super Podcast. I am your terrible co-host, Bede. I hope you're all doing very well today. And with me, as always, is my lovely co-host, the one, the only, Super Marcy. Hello, Marcy. How are you?
Hi. I'm fine. I didn't realize I was meant to answer, how are you?
I was waiting for, like, a reply for four things for you to say afterwards.
Yeah, sorry. Hi, I'm doing well, thank you. How's that?
That's good.
All right.
That's good. And you know what this episode marks now, Marcy? This is the first time we've recorded since we first met a few weeks ago.
That is true, and it feels the same as always.
Indeed, except, you know, you're over there and I'm over here.
And I can't fake punch you.
Exactly. You can't, like, with the cameras or the record... Or the audio isn't recording, as you usually do.
Yeah, pretty much.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Yes.
So.
But other than that.
Other than that.
But we have a pretty awesome episode tonight, Marcy.
I should hope so, Bede.
Indeed. Well, tonight's episode, we're going to be talking about our favourite horror franchises. Or at least our main favourite horror franchise.
Yes, and we also, are.
But we're not doing this alone because we have a very special guest, Marcy.
Really? Who is it?
We have the man that we all have known out there on the internet as the Horror Guru. And he actually has a pretty awesome video logs site called the Blood Spattered Cinema.
Like and that, of course. Blood Spattered Bride.
Indeed, but, you know, for cinemas.
Yes.
He's making his first ever appearance on the show, so you know what that means, Marcy.
It's cherry popping time.
Indeed, pop. Anyways.
That was really not painful for him at all. He's crying. Oh, but, geez, he's crying.
And, of course, is the one, the only, Josh Langlet.
Hello, Josh. Hello. I am good. How are you two?
Oh, not too bad, not too bad. We're just trying to make sure that this episode is running smoothly as possible.
That's because good. We wouldn't want it to go off the rails or anything.
No, yes. Which it likely will. It always does. This is the Super Podcast. There are no rules.
Exactly, nice. Because we go by our own rules.
We have our own rules, man.
Exactly. The first rule of Super Podcast, you do not talk about Super Podcast.
Oh, crap. I think the first rule of Super Podcast is you come on the show in hysterics. Just don't go looking at any strange websites I might send you.
Indeed. Which we won't mention on the show.
No, I can't talk about it anymore.
Because if we tell people this particular website that we're talking about, they will want to go and check it out afterwards and, you know, we'll destroy their livelihoods.
Yeah. Because...
yeah.
But other than that...
Yes, other than that...
Marcy, you have... Isn't there a question you wanted to ask me?
Bede, why are you a terrible Australian for this week?
Marcy, I'm a terrible Australian because I have seen Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
I can't imagine why a grown person would want to watch that.
Because it's, you know, why... But then again, why would anyone want to watch The Muppets? But, you know, even though The Muppets are awesome and all that...
But The Muppets aren't just orientated to kids.
Well, they kind of are, but, you
know... Well, they're kind of not. There's a reason why probably more adults like The Muppets than kids.
I suppose, because, you know, today's kids don't really care for the Muppets. They just want to watch Diary of a Wimpy Kid instead.
So what was so bad about Diary of a Wimpy Kid?
I have to admit, Marfy, it actually wasn't too bad, to be honest. Like, I expected worse, because, you know, from the trailers I'd seen, it looked pretty bad, but when I sat down and watched it, I was like, oh, well, if I saw this movie as, like, a 10, 11-year-old, I'd probably think it was, like, the best movie ever.
Yeah.
But, you know, just my grown-up 27-year-old self at the moment, and basically, it's like, you know, it's harmless kids stuff, and that's basically it, you know?
Yeah. Kids will. Maybe you should have thought about your terrible pick before.
Well, yeah, but, you know, most people, like, out there would be like, oh, he's seen Diary of a Wimpy Kid and he doesn't think it's that terrible and stuff.
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know, I thought you were going to say, I'm terrible because I've seen Steel and I enjoyed it.
No, that will never happen, Marcy. If I had to, like, if I ever said I'd enjoyed Steel, I'd probably have to shoot myself in the face if I ever had to say that.
Wow.
Yes. That is like one of the worst movies of all time.
Yeah.
And actually, shooting myself in the face would actually be better than watching that movie again.
I'm sure it would be. Yeah. Sorry about that. Some people in this house didn't realize I was recording, so.
That's all right.
It's okay. We forgive you.
Yeah. It's a bit hard to edit out background noise.
That's all right. I think after this, my pick for this week, we can move right along to our episode, and we can talk about our main topic, which I mentioned before, as our favorite horror franchise.
Our favorite franchise.
See, you're making fun of me again, Marcy. You're just being totally mean to me right now.
Yeah, I so am.
Yes, our favorite horror franchises. Now, we'll start off with, since he's new to the show, I think we might start off the episode with Josh. Josh, what is your all-time favorite horror franchise?
That would be Halloween. I love it because I grew up with it all the time, not just because it was on TV, but I would also rent it at the VHS store as a kid all the time. And I actually, as a little kid, I developed a kind of a crush on what's her name?
Jamie Lee Curtis?
No, not Jamie Lee Curtis. Danielle Harris as a little kid.
Indeed, like Danielle Harris today.
Yes, that let's just say that crush has carried on. Not in the Halloween films anymore. Well, except
maybe
for
the new one, the
Rob Zombie remake. But
but
that crush definitely carried into my adulthood. That's true.
Cool. But out of all of them, like out of all the sort of the Halloween films, which one do you think, in your opinion, is your personal favorite? And which one do you think is probably not your least favorite of the entire series?
Okay, my personal favorite would have to be the first one. If we're not counting that one because it's a classic at this point, I'd probably go with the third one. Even though it has no Michael Myers, it has no nothing, it probably lives up to the Halloween title better than any of the other movies, actually. And plus why am I forgetting names all of a sudden? Tom Atkins' mustache, which makes any movie better.
Any kind of awesome mustache makes a movie better.
Indeed.
Just for the record.
And my least favorite would actually have to be a tie between Resurrection and Halloween 2, the Rob Zombie version. Because, well, those movies are just terrible.
Don't get me started on Halloween 2, the Rob Zombie version.
I'll try not to.
Yes.
Indeed, Marcy really, 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 really hates that movie.
Yes, and there weren't enough reallys in there.
But the question is, like, out of the two, which one is the worst? I would say Halloween Resurrection only because, you know, you kind of ruin Michael Myers' dignity by basically
Busta
getting
Rhymes.
Defeated by Busty.
Busty?
Sorry. Had a cough.
You just called him Busty.
I did not say that.
You so
I
did.
I was trying to say.
Busty Rhymes.
Busta Rhymes getting karate kicked by Busta Rhymes. That kind of loses, you know, a horror character's dignity by getting beaten up by Busta Rhymes.
Yeah, for me, like, say what you will about Halloween 2, at least it took itself seriously. Halloween Resurrection, it just felt like, especially after H2O, which kind of had one of the best endings of the Halloween movies, and it just took a fat crap on it. And
it did. Just like Halloween 2 does to people. It did. Resurrection is, I think it's just one of the worst sequels to any movie. It's piss poor. I mean, there's nothing, you know, good about it. It has decent people in there, but they just do terribly.
Yeah.
The script is horrible. It's just like, you know what, franchise? I'm going to take a turd on you, and that's what it did.
I'll have to admit, like, I still find it watchable, like, but at the same time, it is, like, has a lot of really bad stuff in it. Like, I can sit there and watch it if it's on TV and that, but at the same time, I'll be like, yeah, you know, yeah, there's a lot of crap in there. And it's pretty unnecessary. Like you say, Josh, like, Halloween H2O, Halloween H2O had the perfect ending to send the series off.
It was the best way to end it.
Yeah, it was best to end it because it had, probably in my opinion, the best ending in the entire series. But then they kind of had to, I guess, since it did so well, they thought, oh, well, we need to make another movie, so let's, like, spoilers for H2O, make it so that Michael Myers didn't die at the end for good and make it that he faked his death and lived in
Resurrection. Yeah, that's just stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. That beginning, when that first opening scene happens in Resurrection, like, I nearly threw my popcorn at the screen. I was just like, what the hell, movie? Come on.
Yeah. And of course, you sort of like bring Jamie Lee Curtis back and then just pretty much kill her off after the first 10 minutes.
Yeah. And like completely ruin any dignity that character had by making her like this insane rambling witch, basically.
I think it probably would have worked like if they should have just made it about Jamie Lee again, I suppose. But I don't know. It just feels like, if they stretched the first 10 minutes out throughout the whole movie instead of bringing in the whole, like, reality TV show angle to the film, it probably would have been much better, but, oh well, I suppose you can't really get too much, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
So I think we're all agreed that Resurrection is the worst one.
Yeah.
Out of those original films. We're not really including Rob Zombies because there's only two.
I was going to ask you, Marcy, which one's like your favorite of the series, other than the first one, which we all know is the best one.
Other than the first one,
yeah.
I think 4. Next to the first one.
That's a good one.
I know that everybody kind of says things about 6. But when I was a kid, I actually didn't mind it, but I know that Bede sent me, like, the other cut of it, which I haven't had a chance to see, but I think, I'm hoping that it does improve the movie.
It actually does.
It improves it a little bit.
Yeah, it improves it a bit more. Like, it sort of fixes up some of the problems I did have with number 6. But, okay.
It's still got problems, but I mean...
I thought you were going to say, it still has Paul Rudd.
Oh yeah,
that's Paul Rudd.
Indeed, like Paul Rudd is like one of the best things about.
He does not suit a Halloween movie. I'm sorry, as much as I love Paul Rudd.
Yeah, it's, especially now, sort of like with all the, you know, Judd Apatow films that he's been in and all that. Kind of odd seeing him in a Halloween movie.
Yeah, because at that time, I think the other thing he was really known for was like Clueless, and that he was good in that. It suited him, but when you see him in like the Halloween, it's just like, this isn't a good match.
Yeah, it's kind of like watching old Vince Vaughn movies when he showed up in like The Cell and stuff, and you're just like, what is he doing in this movie? He's a funny guy. He's not a serious cop. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. You do always see him as a funny guy, and then it's like, why is he Norman Bates? Why did they do a shot-for-shot remake of this movie?
Exactly.
I have to say, of the sequels, I kind of have to have a toss-up between both the second film and H2O, because I feel like those were the ones, for me personally, that got, you know, the elements quite right. And also, like, even though I did I didn't mind parts 4, 5, and 6, even though those were flawed but enjoyable films. But yeah. I always found like the true trilogy of the series to be like the first film, the second, and H2O, because not only because they do have, you know, Laurie Strode in them, but it kind of just felt like the perfect kind of trilogy of films.
And they make the most sense, like, chronologically.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, in the fourth one, all of a sudden, Laurie Strode has a daughter, and you're like, when was she even with a guy?
Exactly. Doesn't make any sense. Yeah. And I also, like, even though I do actually, like, I know a lot of people shit on this one, but I actually do like Rob Zombie's Halloween remake.
I do like the first Halloween remake. But I
like the first half of that movie.
I
feel like when he was playing his own thing, it was at its best. But when it tried to do the remake, like, Rob Zombie's just not good at subtlety. So the remake portion just fell flat.
But I will say, though, if anyone does see, like, if you haven't seen Rob Zombie's Halloween remake, definitely check out the director's cut version, because I feel like, because I actually saw that one last, because I actually saw, I think, like, a bootleg of the, like, the work print first, and then I saw the director's cut, and then I saw the theatrical cut last, and it actually does feel very choppy. Like, you can definitely tell that a lot of stuff was cut out, but, but the director's cut feels much more, smoother, and actually feels complete, Like, it takes its time to, like, establish certain characters and elements of the story, than the theatrical cut did. And it also does away with that silly scene of how Michael Myers breaks out of prison, because that just didn't make any sense that he would, like, break chains like the Incredible Hulk to get out.
And I'm still confused at what exactly they were doing in that scene. Were they transferring him someplace? Because I never mentioned they were doing that. Like,
what was going on there? Exactly. That's the magic of reshoots. They just they reshoot one thing but never have the time to explain how that works.
Yeah.
I think we could agree, like, Halloween definitely has, like, some pretty good installments of the series, and, of course, not so good installments with Resurrection, but Halloween, just an awesome series.
I think it's pretty solid. I enjoy the series. I haven't watched it for a while. As a kid, we watched it all the time, but the funny thing is the original was really hard to find back in the day. So I think we generally watch 2, 4, and 5, and then when 6 came out, and then we were, like, able to finally see the first one, and, you know, I can't really remember the order that we watched everything in, but the first one just blew me away completely, despite the fact that I had, you know, seen the others.
Yeah.
And I just think it's the power of John Carpenter.
Yeah, like, I do agree. I didn't actually watch these in order. I think I watched the first one, like, one of the last of the series I did watch. But I actually, I rewatched it again for Halloween on Halloween night on Blu-ray, and the Blu-ray is absolutely stunning.
Mm.
Feels like it was made today.
I am so jealous.
But Halloween. We'll move right along. We'll move on to Marcy. Marcy, what is your all-time favorite horror franchise?
Well, this actually is my all-time favorite horror franchise, and I don't think it's really going to surprise anybody when I say it is the Nightmare on
Activity.
No, Nightmare on Elm Street. Please don't interrupt me, especially when you say the words Paranormal Activity.
I know, I'm sorry.
You should be. But anyway, A Nightmare on Elm Street, and I'm not including the remake, which is an abomination on humanity. I think, like, I would rather watch Freddy's Dead than that movie again.
As much as, like, I
wouldn't go that far.
I would say, like, Nightmare on Elm Street 2 is a very mediocre film, but it is not as an abomination as much as Freddy's Dead. Like, with the remake, just, you know, my personal take, like, even though visually Freddy looked very interesting and all that, but he was pretty scriptedly, script-wise, he was just poorly done. But at least with, like, they kind of tried to make the character like he was in the original. But Freddy's Dead, on the other hand, they just destroyed him. They turned him into a joke. I mean, you had scenes with a power glove and him riding on
I would take the power glove over how boring Rooney Mara is. But this isn't a discussion on the crapness of the remake. It's a discussion on the other series, like films in the series.
But you must include it.
No, I'm not going to. It does not exist in this dojo.
All right, well, that's fair enough. But I will. But this is a final word. Freddy's Dead is, like, out of all of them, including the remake, is the absolute worst of the whole series. And I don't. And anyone who disagrees is, you know, or whatever, you know.
Don't insult people for having a different opinion.
I'm not insulting. I'm just saying. Like,
you were going to.
Worst of the series.
All right. Well, I'm going to talk about the series. Yes. All right. Well, this is another one, like, with Halloween, something that we grew up with. But I think that I'm not sure that I saw the first one first. I think I might have seen maybe the third. And then I think we went back and watched them all in order, which I think came up when a new video store showed up or it had new owners and they had just this whole new range of horror movies and they had all these old ones. The first one, when I saw it, it blew me away. It was scary. It was just so good. And, you know, Freddy was really kind of creepy. What was the thing? Yeah, Freddy was creepy. but, yeah, I thought the, you know, acting-wise, it was pretty solid, and Wes Craven did a really great job of just putting everything together, and Robert Englund was great as Freddy, and I just thought Nancy was such a great character. She was different than a lot of the other female heroines that you saw in movies. She was just portrayed as being strong. She wouldn't let anything get her down, kind of thing. And then when you move on to part two, which I don't think is a bad movie. I know it gets such a bad rap. I think it is quite an enjoyable movie. And then there's the guilty pleasure side of things, which I enjoy. I think that the people behind it probably didn't know what they were doing for most of the time. But it's for me, it's enjoyable. And I really don't mind Mark Patton and his dancing to really strange songs. part three, I think, is, you know, maybe just a little bit behind the first one. It kind of expands upon that original story, brings back Nancy. It has, I think, some of the best, like, kills, inventive kills anyway, from the series. And it's really great on a visual level. I think the dreams were a bit more realized in the movie as well, and I think part four is silly, but again, it's enjoyable. And I really liked Alice as like the main kind of character. And Rennie Harlan, I think, had some out there ideas in terms of, you know, the dreams. And I think that it could have been better if they maybe had a bit more money. Part five, it's kind of, you know, it's got interesting kills and stuff, but I just am not sure that they knew what they were doing. I think the script kept getting rewritten while they were shooting.
You can tell when watching it.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, it doesn't really feel right that they're doing this whole baby thing. And then part six was just like, hey, let's let this crazy woman direct a movie. Oh, yeah, let's put in a power glove. It's just, it killed, I mean, they were ending the franchise, but if they weren't, it would have killed it anyway. And then the genius that is Wes Craven decided to resurrect Freddy with New Nightmare, and I honestly think that it is Wes Craven's best movie. And I think his ideas and what he did was ahead of its time, and he kind of progressed with what he was doing when he ventured into Scream, but I think that was him at his best. So that's that's my take on the franchise. I think the first one is probably my favorite, along with New Nightmare. My least favorite is Freddy's Dead, obviously, and Guilty Pleasure is part two. So that's my take on that, and I'm not sure what you guys want to add.
Yeah, again, Freddy's Dead, the biggest abomination ever. But other than the first one, I actually did watch these in order, so which is like a first for me. I didn't actually watch, I think, the Nightmare on Elm Street until probably just before Freddy versus Jason came out.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that.
Rush. Yeah, well, I sort of wanted, we can probably get into that a little bit later after my picks. But I sort of wanted to brush up on my Freddy Krueger-ness. So I watched the first three one night because I had a back-to-back marathon on TV, and I watched them with a friend, and we just had a blast. It was just really fun. I agree that the first one is great. It's a great horror film. The second one is a bit of a guilty pleasure. Because, I mean, when you have fantastic lines like, there's something inside of me, and stuff like that.
There's something inside of me. It's trying to get out, and you want to sleep with me?
The third is definitely, like, the most imaginative of the whole series and has some really great moments and kills. And number four, I actually didn't like it the first time, but I did enjoy it much more the fourth time round. I mean, not the second time round, sorry.
You're a dog, babe.
I am not the dork. Anyway, the fifth one was a bit of a mess, and it's definitely of the original. After Freddy's Dead, it's my least favorite one, and Freddy's Dead again, biggest abomination ever. And yeah, that's basically my take on it.
And Josh.
Alrighty then. For me, obviously, the first Nightmare on Elm Street is an absolute classic. It started it all, and it revolutionized slashers at the time. Second one I actually really like. I think it's because it's the most body horror centric of the movies, with like Freddy like coming out of like his chest and creepy things
it's
like that.
It's a bit Cronenberg-esque, isn't it?
What's that?
It's a bit Cronenberg-esque, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And I really love Cronenberg, and so that's why I like the second one, even though it does have a lot of cheesy lines.
It does. Brilliant.
The third one is probably my favorite of the whole series, just because it's like reading a comic book, but on the big screen, just like crazy, wacky stuff. And I think they take the dreams to their absolute limit in that movie, with my favorite being the marionette scene. That is, like, my favorite Freddy death ever.
Yeah, that's mine as well. high five.
I don't really care for part four that much. I think that's the one that was the most MTV out of all of them. And so I imagine it's fun with a lot of people sitting around and all, like, having a blast making fun of it. But it's definitely not as bad as part five, which, like everyone said, is a complete mess. It's got some fun kills, but... there's not much to write home about that. Freddy's Dead is, it's a thing. Yeah.
From the director of Tank Girl. Yeah, that's
a lot of people. A lot of people, like you guys, all mentioned the power glove thing. But I think the worst moment for me in Freddy's Dead is actually really early in it, and that's when Freddy starts imitating the Wicked Witch of the West.
Oh,
yes.
That is just,
I'm just like, what the hell happened to you, Freddy? You used to be like, you had one-liners, but you used to be creepy. Now you're just like, now you're like a stand-up comedian. Like,
yeah, it's kind of sad what happened to Freddy. And in a way, that's why I'm so glad that we had New Nightmare to kind of, compensate for that.
A New Nightmare was a fresh take on the series. It was a lot of fun. It was a precursor to what would eventually become Scream and, like, the self-aware horror movie. And it's probably one of the better ones. Up there with Scream is one of the best. Freddy vs. Jason we'll talk about later. For the remake, I didn't hate it, but I didn't like it too much either. It was just kind of bland. Like,
everything
did something kind of boring, and it's just,
Yeah, that's my take on it, too.
Yeah, it is really boring and bland, and this movie just really made me not like Rooney Mara. She was just so boring. I mean, her boring rivals Kristen Stewart's boring in Twilight. That's how just bland and blah that it is.
And, to be fair, I think Rooney Mara is better when she's with a director who knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And it's clear from that movie Samuel Bayer
didn't
have
know
any idea
what?
How to direct a narrative.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I do think that she'll be impressive with the upcoming Girl with a Dragon Tattoo. From what I've seen, it looks like she's showing some promise, so I won't trash her. I'm just trashing that performance, and I know you're probably a big deal of it. Wasn't really her fault.
Yeah, well, can I be honest, the thing I did, like, even though she was pretty dull in the movie, but I honestly didn't think she was the worst performance in that film. I always thought she was like Katie Cassidy, who played, I guess, the Tina character, was the worst, because basically her performance was like blubbering every 5 seconds, and it just irritated the fuck out of me.
I can see that.
I was just like, hurry up and just kill her already, Freddy.
No, I thought she was maybe one of the better parts of the movie. She at least showed some kind of personality.
I thought Jackie Haley and Kyle Garner were my favorite parts. But
yeah, I actually didn't mind Kyle Garner.
Yeah. I feel real bad for him because I think he's a solid actor, but he keeps being put in these really bad movies.
He does. He's really, like, if you've ever seen, like, Veronica Mars and how good he was in that show, especially for the kind of character that he had, and it's kind of sad to see when he gets shitty roles like this.
Yeah, like this, Haunting in Connecticut, even Jennifer's Body, like, you deserve better than this man.
Yeah, and Cougar's Inc., which was not the best movie I've ever seen.
Although, I actually did think he was actually quite good in Red State, but, you know, that's a whole different story.
Yeah, he was.
And, yeah.
Shall we move on?
I did forget to mention Wes Craven's New Nightmare before. I forgot to mention that before. Yeah, it's definitely, without a doubt, the best one in the entire series and the most original, one of the most original horror films of all time.
Should we move on to Beads franchise?
Indeed.
So I think I think we've covered all the basics.
Yep. I have to say, my all-time favorite franchise, and I actually mentioned on a previous episode, Marty, that one sequel from this franchise actually changed my life forever. Do you remember that?
I do. Along with, you know, because Top Secret.
but this one, and of course that franchise is the Friday the 13th franchise, which is the series that made me fall in love with horror, because I actually, as a kid, I never got into horror at all. I was too freaked out.
You're a pussy.
Why are you?
You know, I mean, it's true.
I couldn't even go into the horror section of the video shop because even the video covers would freak me the fuck out.
You used to pee your pants in the video store.
Indeed, and there was a puddle everywhere.
I love how you don't deny it.
then one day, while having a party,
brought over
the seventh installment of the series, The New Blood, and I sat there and watched it, and I realized at that moment that, you know, horror movies were a lot of fun. And I thought it was like a good indication, like a good introduction to not only to this series, but also just horror in general. And after that, I became a huge horror fan after that.
Again, I think with like the other ones, this was another one that we used to watch as kids. And I think the third one was the first one that I saw, if memory serves.
Yeah. I think I watched the seventh one first, and I'm trying to figure, I know I saw both the first one and the second one back to back one night on TV.
Yeah, I think so as well. Not on TV, but on video.
Yeah, but I'm trying to, I can't remember exactly, but I guess I'll just go through the entire series. Friday the 13th, the first one.
Kevin Bacon.
Indeed, it's the other type of bacon who isn't Canadian.
Yeah, it was really funny when I didn't know he was in it, and when we went to watch it, we were like, oh my god, it's Kevin Bacon. And then there was a scene where he's in his, like, little tiny, like, swimsuit, and you can see he's got a massive boner. And we kept watching that scene over and over again because it was so funny. Anyway.
Well, that never happened to me while watching the movie, but because, like, I was, like, looking at, you know, the girls in the film. But, you know, that's a whole different story altogether. Anyways, right at the third act. It's a great little slasher movie. I don't know if it's like the best, well, to me, Halloween is still the greatest slasher film of all time, but Friday the 13th is definitely one of my personal favorites, and it's just a really fun and entertaining film, and, you know, it's got a pretty good cast, and you got also Betsy Russell. Betsy Palmer. Betsy Palmer, who plays Mrs. Voorhees, and she just really goes with her performance with 110%. Even though she has sort of spoken like on record a couple of times that she basically just did the film for the check, but now today she really embraces the character of Mrs. Voorhees in that.
Yes.
And she does a great job, but everyone's good. And there's also like Adrian King, who looks like an exact doppelganger for Allison Hannigan, that it's scary. She does. She looks like the 80s version of Allison Hannigan, and I was like, really? Like, is she Allison Hannigan's mum or something in real life? I don't know.
I can see it.
The second one, part two, that was, again, a lot of fun. Introduced a couple of more characters, but also introduced Jason Voorhees. But not as the Jason Voorhees that we know and love, because in this one he had like a potato sack over his head.
Yeah, he did. That's kind of funny.
Which is kind of funny, but at the same time, he was still. But it just had a lot of really cool, awesome, brutal kills. And the third one, like part three, is basically just kind of a remake of the second one because it just follows the exact same story.
Yeah.
Took T. But this one's done in 3D, even though I never saw the film in 3D, it does like a lot of shots where they just like throw shit at the camera. Like, you have, like, Jason throwing a spear and it's, like, coming towards the camera, or, like, balls coming at your head and stuff like that. And it's kind of hilarious in that way, but it's still a lot of fun. Part four, I think, is one of my personal favorites of the series because it has... Well, it was supposed to be the last one, but, of course, it was so successful that they made more after that. But it has, like, also Corey Feldman... as young Tommy Jarvis, who would pretty much be like, I guess, the Laurie Strode of the series, because he was sort of like, I guess, Jason Voorhees' real arch nemesis, because they, you know, the characters appeared multiple times throughout the series. And of course it has Crispin Glover, who like gives one of my favorite performances of the entire series. And also he has like one of the most saddest and brutal deaths ever, because he just gets like a cleaver to the face. Part five, which a new beginning. This one's definitely my least favorite of the series. Because like, even though it has some pretty brutal kills, but the fact that, and spoilers for this movie, the fact that it's not actually, Jason Voorhees, it's rather just a guy, dressing up as Jason Voorhees and going around just killing everybody kind of takes it away a little, a lot of elements from it a bit, you know?
It's kind of like they had no idea what they wanted to do, so they just went with the most ridiculous idea possible.
Yeah, it's like, basically Jason Voorhees is dead. Like, we can't just resurrect him. We'll just make it into a copycat killer. But that didn't work out, so it goes right into Jason Lives, which is the sixth film. And they basically, how are we going to bring Jason back? Oh, we'll just, like, let lightning strike him.
Well, it's no worse than, oh, a dog's going to piss on his bones.
Yeah, that's true. That's actually probably even more bad, more hilariously bad, how Freddy's revived. But what I liked about Jason Lives is that it actually, of the series, it's the one that kind of has a sense, is more comical. Like, it's not full-blown, like, campy, but it actually has a sense of humor about what's happening. Like, there are some really funny moments, and some of the best gore of the series. Like, some deaths are really creative and hilarious. Like, there's one where Jason, like, machetes, like, a group of three paintballers in one go, and other really cool deaths and like that. Then, of course, you know, The New Blood, which was, like, the first one I ever saw, which was a lot of fun, and it actually brings in more of a supernatural vibe, because it has a character in it who, has telekinetic powers, and she uses those to fight against Jason. Jason Takes Manhattan, I have to admit, like, even though I know a lot of people really hate this movie, I actually do enjoy it, even though it's kind of false advertisement because Jason doesn't get to Manhattan until the last, 20 minutes of the movie.
It should have been called Jason Takes a Cruise.
Yeah, that's exactly. It should have
that's
been
perfect.
Jason Takes a Cruise. But I still enjoy that movie. Like, it's a lot of fun. Like, and there are some sort of pretty good moments in that. Jason Goes to Hell. I've only ever saw this movie once, and I thought it was kind of okay, but it sort of, like, you know, kind of takes elements from other better horror movies, like, I guess, The Hidden, which is probably the
main,
and tries to have this sort of, like, oh, the spirit of Jason Voorhees goes on to different people and all that. And it also brings in, like, you know, Jason's long-lost sister and stuff like that, which doesn't really quite work. Jason X. Jason X had the potential to be a really fun Friday the 13th movie because it actually is, you know, set in the future where Jason is revived. And I'm thinking, oh, this would be pretty awesome. It actually was the first Friday the 13th film I actually saw in the cinema. But
there's no comment on that. It's just Jason X. It's silly.
It's silly, but at the same time, it's just really bland. Like, it's really blandly directed, you know? Like, it needed a lot more energy to it to really embrace the sort of, like, the premise of Jason being in space, but it's just so... that's pretty much it. It's just so dully directed, and I rewatched it recently, and it just doesn't hold up, unfortunately. It's definitely, after New Beginning, it's my least favorite one.
Okay.
Yeah. And also, Freddy vs. Jason, which combines both mine and Marcy's favorite horror franchises together in the one film. And pretty much, I had an orgasm in the cinema while I was watching this movie because it's not every day that you see two horror icons like Freddy and Jason on the big screen together. And
that
it
movie's
is
a lot of fun.
It is. It's like it has some, like, you know, some of the acting is pretty bad, but at the same time, it just has. It's a lot of fun, and it's visually, it's great. And it also has, like, the actual, when Jason and Freddy actually fight, it's pretty awesome. Like, that scene is pretty awesome.
I think that was my first Freddy or Jason movie in the cinema, and it came out on my birthday, or I got to see it on my birthday.
It was my second Friday film I saw in the cinema, my first Nightmare film as well, so that was pretty cool. And of course, you know, the remake that came out 2 years ago, it's kind of weird because it's not exactly an entire remake of the first film because it actually has Jason in it, and it's basically the...
It's like a remake of, like, the first three, in a way.
Yeah.
I'd say the first four.
But I still enjoyed it. Like, it definitely, like, it's not as violent and as gory as the other films, but it has, like, still has a lot of good performances and a lot of sort of fun, vibe to it that I enjoyed, and some pretty cool kills. And also it has, like, one of the best nude scenes ever.
It certainly does. That's the reason why I own it on DVD, is for the boobs.
Exactly.
And that's, I'm not kidding, that is 100% true.
And I'm just wondering why this chick has his career. I'm trying to figure out what her name is again.
Juliana.
Oh, Juliana Rupp. Yeah, why her career hasn't really taken off, because that was like a star-making moment for me.
It should have been. She should be in all these movies where it's just like boobs. Exactly. Actually, I would be happy if she was just in every single movie with Amber Heard. That would satisfy. That would satisfy me wholly.
Indeed. but I guess that's really my rundown of the Friday the 13th series. I mean, series. What are your guys' take on the Friday the 13th series?
Well, I think it's a fun series. I don't, like, watch it as much as, say, Nightmare on Elm Street. There's too many, I think, and they're hard to come by. I think the only ones I've actually purchased are the original Part 2 and the remake. Because every time I go to buy one, they're never there. It's always those ones. But I think they're fun. I think I think my favourite is the original. But some of the entries are rather fun and silly. I mean, Jason X is so stupid, but it's kind of fun to watch in a really weird way. But, you know, for me, it's fun. I got no problems with Friday the 13th. I think Jason's just kind of been you know, like Freddy, I think by the end they just didn't know what they were doing, so.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's it. And Josh.
Friday the 13th series is one of those series where I don't really hate any of the entries into the series. Some of them are obviously lesser than others, but the series never really had the pretense of being scary. It was just about having fun, boobs, blood, the whole shebang. And so that for that reason, my favorite is actually Part 7, The New Blood, because that movie has everything I love about Jason. It has my favorite Jason design. It actually has someone fighting Jason back, which I thought was kind of cool. It's Kane Hodder just kicks ass in that movie. My least favorite would actually probably be Part 2. Just because after it being sandwiched between Part 1 and 3 just makes it look even worse than it is.
That's cool.
That's my take on the series.
Well, I think that could be sort of a wrap on this conversation. Mm-hmm. But I think, in my opinion, pretty awesome series of films. And also, there is a reason why these horror series are actually, you know, classics of the genre, because, like, they have, you know, probably without a doubt, the three most memorable villains of all time, regardless whether it's horror or at all. Because, I mean, you know, I think even 50 years from now, people are still going to know who Michael Myers, Freddy Krueger, and who Jason Voorhees are still.
They might not know who invented them originally, but they'll probably know the name.
Exactly.
They're like the Dracula, the Wolfman, the Mummy of the modern day.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Indeed.
Yep.
And hopefully, like, you know, they'll probably still make more films, and hopefully, you know, like, I think with, you know, because all three films had remakes, it sort of varied degrees of success and no success, but hopefully they'll still make more films, whether they are, like, you know, continual sequels or more remakes. As long as they're, like, in the right hands, they'll be, agreed. Hopefully they'll turn out really good. So that's basically...
Sounds good.
Marcy, what should we talk about next?
Well, to wrap up the show, we will just maybe talk about one film that we've seen recently that we think is worth the discussion. So I might go first with the last film that I saw at the cinema, which was We Need to Talk About Kevin, which I did see with you, Bede, and I also saw it again the following week with some other people who couldn't make the session that we saw it. Well, actually, I think I sent them a message and they didn't answer me, so therefore they couldn't make it that day. But I don't think that any movie this year has both, you know, been something I've thought, wow, this is really good, but also irritated me to no end. It took two viewings to actually really solidify how I felt, but this is like one of those movies where you really, unless you've read the book, you should go into it not knowing anything. And the strange thing is, every single review or summary for this movie reveals like what happens at the end in the first line, which is wrong. You really shouldn't know what you're going into. I think it's important to just understand that this is a film about a mother and her child and, you know, the debate of whether how you treat your kid growing up is going to affect them when they're older. So it's effectively, it's about nature versus nurture. And the interesting part is that you see the film through the eyes of the main character played by Tilda Swinton, and the way that she sees her son, he's basically the spawn of the devil. And it is kind of daunting when, you know, you kind of have to take that on board and you kind of think, wow, this is so over the top, but it's how she sees this kid. And the film kind of progresses that, you know, that something really tragic has happened, and you know, it tries to examine, or at least the character of Eva tries to examine whether or not she did something wrong, or, you know, how you know, in her treating of her son, if things would have changed. And it's kind of obvious that she didn't really want to be a mother and she was depressed. But do these things necessarily have an impact on what the kid, your kid, who's ever kid, will ultimately be? So, you know, overall, it is a really interesting piece, but I think director Lynn Ramsey just overused all her visual symbolism. It was just like, after 10 minutes, I get your drift, I understand what you're doing, and there was just too much focus on the visual messages rather than trying to create more depth to what was going on. In the end, I think I gave it 4 out of 5, but it's worth seeing. I think it's just an interesting discussion piece. So, yeah, that was the last thing I saw at the cinema.
I agree.
And what about you, Josh? Joshua. The Goblin's Joshua.
I saw. What was
that? The Goblin's Joshua.
This last week, I've seen a couple films in the theater, but the one that I really want to highlight and implore everyone to go check out is the new Scorsese picture, Hugo, based on the invention of Hugo Cabret. It is a love letter to all things cinema, its history, its power. It's essentially Scorsese making a movie that exemplifies the power cinema has on the person, how it expands one's imagination, how it inspires people to do great things. And if you are a fan of movies, if you're a fan of Scorsese, I demand that you go and see this movie, because it's one of my favorite movies of the year. And I know a lot of people have been down on it, like, before even seeing it, just because it's Scorsese doing like a kid's picture. But I think this movie has enough for adults and kids alike, like The Muppets does, which I also recommend people go see. So there we go.
Yeah, I will definitely see it. I'm just not sure when it's actually out here.
I think it's out the same day as The Muppets, actually, Marcy.
Well, then I'll do a double bill of Hugo and The Muppets. I love Scorsese, and I'm so glad that he's done something so different, which is, I think, the beauty of Scorsese is that he can really touch upon anything.
Yeah, so, I really like what he's been doing lately, where he tried to do a horror movie the last year with the Shutter Island, and now he's doing like a children's like adventure movie. I'm really glad that he's expanding beyond just being the period drama or the mafia guy.
Yeah.
I agree. He should do a musical next.
I would love to see a Scorsese musical. That would be brilliant. Oh, I also recommend people, if you don't get headaches from 3D, I recommend you check it out in 3D, because the way Scorsese uses the 3D is to actually like add atmosphere and like expand the scope of the film. It works a lot better than the 2D, which still looks amazing, but the 3D is amazing in the movie.
Yeah, but he shot it like for 3D, or was it converted? I think he shot it for 3D. Yeah, I think that tends to work better than an upscale, just in regards to when you watch it and if it's blurry and gives you a headache and stuff. So I'd be happy to check that out in 3D, I think.
Me too.
Sounds good.
I actually can't wait to see it in 3D. What was the last thing I saw in the cinema? I saw it a lot, because when I was over visiting Marcy, I did see a lot of films while I was away. But one of the main ones I want to talk about, in my opinion, this is my favorite movie of the year so far, and that is Drive.
Oh, nice. That's a great movie.
Drive is an absolutely fantastic film. Basically, what I loved about the film, it still has your standard plot of any kind of action movie and all that. Like, you know, guy does this for a living and then gets caught up into this other thing, and then he has to try to, then something goes wrong and he has to, you know, get out of it somehow. You know, kind of that standard stuff. But what I loved about it is that it kind of, the director, Nicholas Winding Refn, he takes like what I guess you could say your standard standard action film premise, and makes it into, I guess, into an art house
action character piece.
Mm. And it has some, like, there's not that many, like, you know, big action scenes in it. And I think if you're going in expecting like a big action movie, you're going to be disappointed. But as a character piece, it works extremely well. It has some really great, amazing performances from, you know, the likes of Ryan Gosling, Kerry Mulligan, Albert Brooks, who scared the shit out of me during this movie, which I would not expect. and that's
it's amazing that they managed to do that with Albert Brooks, of all people.
Exactly. That's like best typecasting. I mean, going against type right there in terms of casting. And also you got Bryan Cranston, who's like been popping up in like a billion movies in the past.
He's in every single thing ever made.
Exactly. And like I mentioned a while ago, he has like 40 movies coming out in the next year and a half.
Yeah. And the movie has Ron Perlman.
Indeed.
Who is so hilarious in this movie.
Oh, I love Ron Perlman. I love him so much.
I mean, yeah, Ron Perlman is one of those guys who, no matter how bad the movie is, he can elevate it.
He always rocks. Yeah. Hello, and like Alien Resurrection. It's the only reason why I can watch that.
Well, the thing is, he's one of those actors who is incapable of giving a bad performance, in my opinion. Like you say, Josh, even if he is in a shit film, he's like always like one of the best things about it. But I love the film, like Drive. It's visually, it's so beautiful. Like it's, and there's a lot of like this movie pretty much had me with the very first scene, which is Ryan Gosling out on it on one of his jobs driving. You know, picking up bank robbers and trying to get them away before they get caught by the police. That scene, the way that scene is directed, it was astonishing. And also has a great 80s-esque soundtrack.
That soundtrack's amazing.
The soundtrack's awesome.
Not just with the songs, but also just the score that by Cliff Martinez, like what he does. It's a very sort of the typical 80s synth score. And it just sounds amazing. And he did a similar thing with Contagion, which I also saw recently as well, where kind of sort of electronic 80s synths kind of score. But I absolutely love Drive. It just pretty much had me from beginning to end. There's so many great characters and moments. And also when the violence in this movie hits, it hits really hard. And you just don't... Like for a while, there's nothing like really happening in terms of violence, but when it hits really hard, and you actually kind of get taken aback by it when it does.
What really got me about this movie is the amazing attention to detail, and I think I had discussed it with Kopka a while ago, where there's a scene where Ryan Gosling like pulls into the parking lot where he lives, and he sees these two guys, and he doesn't for one second take his eyes off these two guys. He just knows how to scope out something and scope out a situation, and then he just knows exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
Things, stuff like that that you notice, it's amazing.
Yeah, I was going to say he's one of those characters who like make sure like it's trying to make sure that nothing goes wrong, and he, you know, that's basically his whole point of when he does any of these jobs, is to like pretty much think ahead of everybody else and keep a good lookout for anything that could, you know, if something could go wrong, he'll know what to do if it does happen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gosh. In terms of the detail that the movie goes into, like, my favorite detail is during the shooting of the movie, they only used one jacket. So by the end of the movie, this jacket is just completely totaled, is covered in, like, fake blood. It's it's a mess. And if you follow the movie, like, as each scene goes on, it's a little more dirty.
Yes.
And then by the end of the movie, it's practically falling off of him. And it's just...
Yep. Attention to detail, baby.
Amazing detail.
Yeah.
Just the attention to detail of everything in this movie is... It's just a great film. Like, it's a really, really great film. And like I said, I think this is definitely my favorite film of the year until something else comes along. But I wouldn't be surprised if it still ends up being probably my number one, or maybe even my top three. Like I say, if something else comes along. But
I think it'll be in my top three at least. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a great film, and I think everyone should definitely go out and check it out if you haven't. But like I say, if you're going to go in expecting like a Fast and the Furious type of action movie.
You're an idiot, plain and simple.
You're an idiot, and you're not going to get that. But if you're looking for like a character-driven art house action movie, then definitely check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's basically all I saw. Well, I'd seen other things, but you know that's.
Well,
but that's
we're only talking about like one, about. So.
Yeah. That was the main one I wanted to talk about. So yes. Yep. I think we'll wrap the show up now.
And yes, we will.
Thank Josh for coming on the show. I hope we did.
Anytime.
Yeah, thanks for making your debut on Super Podcast.
I had a great time.
I'm glad you guys
for letting me be on.
I'm glad as well, and I will definitely have you back for future episodes as well. And also, I want to thank my co-host Marcy for putting up with me today.
Yeah, it's not easy because you just don't shut up.
Well, I just have so much to say.
It's true, you don't. You keep going on and on. We have to make sure to say, "Beat, wrap it up, dude."
Because when I'm so passionate about things, I just go on forever. Because, you know, that's how it rolls. But anyways, I'd like to thank everyone for listening to the show today. And we'll tell everybody where they can find us on the internet. Marcy, where can they find you on the internet today?
They can find me filming a movie called Michael Fassbender, XXX. I mean, no, you can find me at supermarcy.com. You can go to Twitter and, you know, go to twitter.com/supermarcy. You can go to Facebook and look for Super Marcy. You can look for Super Podcast. And I'm pretty sure if you do a search for Super Marcy, you'll find links to where I am. So that's the gist of it.
Cool. And Josh, where can we find you on the internet this week?
You can find me on www.bloodsplatteredcinema.com. You can also find me at reviewersunknown.com, spacemonkeymafiastudios.com, and mibreviews.com. I'm also on Twitter and Facebook, so just search Horror Guru or Blood Splattered Cinema and you'll probably find me.
Yes, awesome. You will.
And you can find me, like, putting Juliana Gull's nude scene from Friday the 13th on extra slow-mo every day of the week. And also, you can also find me at my Twitter page at twitter.com/beachvine, and as well as my Facebook page at facebook.com/beachvine, or my Movie Fan Central page at moviefancentral.com/beachvine, and also my movie song
Terra Australis, dummy.
moviefancentral.com/Terra Australis, my bad.
It is your bad.
And also my writings for supermarcy.com for my movie song of the week and other random stuff as well, and as well as future DVD reviews.
And that's a wrap from all of us. So thank you, listeners, for listening to us. And until next time, I have been searching on a website called accidentalpenis.com, and you should all check it out because it's hilarious.
Best website ever.
It is really funny. I will link it on the podcast page just for the hell of it.
See you, everyone.